It's Monday on The Takeaway. Thanks for joining us after your weekend. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and we're going to start today in 2016 in the state of North Carolina, in the bathroom. Yes, the bathroom, a space of basic necessity for nearly all of us. In 2016, the Republican-led state legislature in North Carolina, along with then-Governor Republican Pat McCrory, transformed the state's public bathrooms into a public battleground with HB 2. That law prohibited transgender people from using bathrooms consistent with their gender identity. Now, the law was unnecessary, discriminatory, and frankly, mean. In 2017, it was repealed. But what ended HB 2 was not a blue wave of progressive voters. It was not the golden intentions of red Republicans. What stopped HB 2 was green. Money. Cash. Dollar bills, y'all.
Economic pressure activated by LGBT rights advocates cost the state $450 million. From the NBA to PayPal, entertainers and companies turned away from North Carolina.
That's more friends at Vice News. And it's a pattern. American Airlines, Apple, Cisco, eBay, General Electric, IBM, Intel, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Nike, and Salesforce. They all signed onto an amicus brief supporting the Justice Department's attempts to block HB 2. But the NCAA delivered the most consequential blow when it announced it would relocate all college championships set to be played in North Carolina out of the state. Now, these corporate actions made a difference. In 2016, Roy Cooper defeated the incumbent Pat McCrory in the North Carolina gubernatorial election. And Cooper swiftly brokered a deal to end HB 2 and bring business investments and college sport back to the Tar Heel State. The HB 2 fight ignited a bit of latent corporate activism. Think of summer 2020 after the murder of George Floyd. Madison Avenue did not sit out this wave of the movement for Black Lives. It branded and marketed it. And earlier this year, some of the biggest players on Wall Street remained willing to mix it up in the arena of state policy. Here's former American Express CEO Ken Chenault back in March, speaking out against a restrictive voting rights law in Georgia.
We cannot be in the business of creating unjust and undemocratic laws in an attempt to thwart the will of the people. And so what we're saying is this is fundamentally un-American. Corporations have to stand up. There is no middle ground.
In short, corporate America has established a recent history of clear, vocal support of human and civil rights and decisive action to oppose state policies violating these rights. All of which makes the current corporate quiet about SB 8, the restrictive anti-abortion law implemented 3 weeks ago in Texas, downright deafening in its silence. Despite nearly 50 years of constitutional precedent establishing the right to abortion, SB 8 effectively bans abortions in Texas. The law allows private citizens to file a lawsuit against anyone who, quote, knowingly engages in conduct that aids or abets an abortion. Foundational rights are important no matter how many are immediately impacted. But it's worth noting that fewer than 1% of Americans self-identify as transgender. Still, a broad coalition of profit-seeking entities took a stand for transgender rights in North Carolina. And about 12% of Americans are Black. But a broad coalition of profit-seeking entities took a stand for Black Lives Matter. Nearly 1 in 4 American women will have an abortion. 1 in 4. But thus far, only a handful of corporate entities have taken a position on the abortion restrictions in Texas. For more on all of this, we're joined now by Scott Sonnenschein, professor of management at Rice University. Scott, great to have you here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And also with us is Emily Stewart, senior reporter at Vox. Emily, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Emily, what companies have said something about the Texas law?
The list is fairly short. Initially, what we did see were both Match Group and Bumble, both of which are kind of dating companies based in Texas, come out and talk about the law, saying that they would create funds to help people obtain abortions outside of the state of Texas that needed them. We also saw a response from Lyft and Uber. Now, this is important because among those who can be considered to aid and abet abortion under this Texas law are Uber and Lyft drivers. So Uber and Lyft were put in a sort of position where they needed to speak out, and they have said that they will cover any cost for their drivers in the event that they are sued for aiding and abetting abortion. We saw GoDaddy, which is a website host, say that they would stop hosting a website where people could report people who are aiding and abetting abortions. And then more recently, we also saw Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff tell their workers that they were going to help them get out of the state of Texas in the event that they wanted to leave the state. But beyond that, the reaction has been, you know, as you noted, pretty limited.
Scott, help me to understand a bit about sort of that recent story that I just told about, you know, sort of from 2016 on, we've seen a kind of corporate activism on issues that frankly, you know, still are very much contentious in the public sphere. I think, you know, HB2 is a really great example of one that is certainly not a settled set of opinions within the U.S. Why sort of relative corporate courage in those cases, but not here?
I think on one point, I'm really surprised about the silence on this issue. But on the other hand, I'm not. I mean, we have seen in the last 5 years a trend of increasing corporate activism. Historically, that activism has been much about issues that are very directly tied to the economic impact of the business. But what we've seen in the last 5 years is much less of a direct connection. With this bill and the anti-abortion bill, what's really surprising about the silence is, one is it's counter this trend of speaking out. And we've seen so much activism, as you pointed out, with the racial justice in the last year or two, but also that almost two-thirds of people on surveys are indicating that they wouldn't even consider a job in Texas because of this bill, which seems really contra against the economic interest of these organizations. But the reason I'm not surprised is that, you know, companies have historically, they just don't want to touch religious issues. They really fear alienating any employees' religious beliefs. And there's almost a tinge of irony here because companies for the last 18 months have been talking about the importance of creating an inclusive environment. And this bill is embedded in a state that doesn't create a very inclusive environment for many people. But on the other hand, they worry about taking a stance on a contentious religious issue will create a divide within their own organizations around religious beliefs, which they also want to avoid. So they're kind of stuck in a pretty tough bind right now.
Emily, I'm wondering if there are particular corporations in Texas, right, who are Texas-based, who you would have expected by now to have said something, who haven't?
I mean, I don't know if expected, but, you know, the day I was assigned this story by my editor, she said, you know, look and see which companies are responding to this abortion law. And I thought it would be an easy task. And so I reached out to some big names, you know, American Airlines, AT&T, Exxon, 7-Eleven, Valero, Dell Technologies, Oracle. These are companies that are based in Texas that probably employ a lot of women who will be affected by this law. And a lot of these are companies that also have not sat out other issues. You know, both American Airlines and Dell have spoken out about Texas's voting rights law. So they have weighed in on other issues there, but on this one, they've been pretty quiet.
Are those companies primarily led by men, Emily?
Yes. I mean, that is also part of it. Dan Primack at Axios, one of the things that he noted is specifically with Match Group and Bumble is that they are led by women. And for women, this tends to be more of a personal issue than it is for men. And so, yes, like a lot of these, you think about corporate America, what the C-suite generally looks like, who the CEO is, most of the time it is men. And so there is a sense here that maybe male CEOs, even if on paper they support abortion, they don't feel it in the same way that perhaps a CEO who's a woman would feel it.
Scott, obviously corporations tend to feel things no matter who they're led by when it impacts that bottom line, right? And that can be both, you know, on this question, as you were saying about, you know, workers not even wanting to work in a state where that company is located. But it can also come from the power of social media pushing these companies who've had something to say on these other issues in this space. What would it take from a sort of consumer consumer or social media activism standpoint to maybe move some of these companies?
So companies like to travel in herds. They want the safety of knowing that they're not the first to move on a contentious issue. So I think if you start to see more of a groundswell of other companies speaking out, I mean, right now it still is too small to really create that. But if you start to see more companies take action, you're all of a sudden going to just open the floodgates. And I think you're going to see a lot more public activism and speaking out. So I think that's the first thing. In terms of social media, I think if you can kind of make connections on social media to the implications of what this bill is practically going to mean, I think it's still pretty abstract for people. People have a hard time processing and thinking about what the implications are going to be when it's just a law. But if you start actually seeing some of this law get applied and you have stories, really emotional and difficult stories of people being, you know, hunted down by regular citizens to enforce provisions of this law, I think that's going to create a pretty strong emotional climate that's going to make silence increasingly difficult for at least a number of CEOs. And as they start speaking out, other companies are going to feel compelled that they need to follow and take a stance too.
I'm wondering, Emily, about efficacy. I mean, again, you know, the HB2 story that I told is, you know, demonstrative of, you know, absolutely efficacious action on the part of corporations. That is, I mean, it is the NCAA rather than a change of heart that changed HB2 in the state of North Carolina. But, you know, we haven't, for example, seen the state of Georgia, you know, backpedaling on its voter restriction bills. So, in short, what difference does it make?
I mean, this is a space that I live in and think about a lot, which is that actually if American Airlines comes out and says anything, does it make a difference? But I do think it's important to draw attention to issues, to talk about these things, you know, but at the same time, look at last year, you got into this, how many companies said something about the movement for Black Lives, right? Now, does that translate to who they are hiring, who they are elevating within their organizations? Not necessarily. But I do think on this, to me, the big question is if companies start to see an impact here in their workforces, that it almost forces them to take a little bit of action. At the end of the day, if you are Tesla and Apple, you've opened up campuses in Texas, and suddenly you can't get people to go to work there. That's kind of, I think, when you start to see maybe companies take more of a stand that actually makes more of a difference. But I don't think there's harm in companies saying anything, but it is always tricky to know, you know, like you just pointed out in Georgia, that the voting law has not been, you know, scaled back.
Emily Stewart is a senior reporter at Vox. Scott Sonnenschein is a professor of management at Rice University. Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.